brand.
Out of Bounds is on the air. 105.5 The Roar.
Oh, look at that. Oh, you better go ahead, Pat. You better go ahead now.
And now, William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Everybody loves a panda party. Woo! Party time with my panda family.
Sing it, Po.
I discovered that they're all a lot like me. Get in here, monkey. Have it fun until we get sleepy.
Nap time.
It was a panda namely Shan.
I can't. Your face.
Quack, if any pandas... We're lucky to have a panda party.
Yeah.
They should have it at Local Q's new event space.
Oh, okay.
That's where they should have it. And if wanted to have
you're saying that I'm invited to the panda party?
I think so.
Okay.
And if they wanted to get a good deal, they could just give my name to Local Q, Kelly Gramlich, and get $100 off their next event at Local Q. That's a deal. That's a great deal. At Local Q's new event space, it can be rented out for corporate events, wedding events, rehearsal dinners, birthdays, you name it. Great food and drinks for everyone, private room, full bar, TVs to watch whatever you want. It's a great spot there at Local Q. We had our basketball tip-off show there back in March, and it was a big success. Really loved the space. So if you're interested in that, visit localq.com. Give them a call as well, 864-288-6873, or just go by Local Q for beer, barbecue, board games in the upstate, right? Massive draft beer selection, delicious appetizers, hearty barbecue entrees, and of course the games. Cornhole, ping pong, pool, shuffleboard, darts, and board games. Fun for all. Make sure you visit Local Q today, 30 Orchard Park Drive in Greenville.
We were talking rivalries when we went out to break, and there are so many of these that he addresses, he being Spencer, what's the guy's name? I just call him EDSBS. Spencer Hall. On SB Nation. He addresses these in just a snarky and very humorous fashion. Kelly, what are some of your favorites as he got them?
I think his description of Alabama-Auburn with his pie chart is really good. And he breaks Alabama-Auburn up into five different elements, all right? These five elements make up Alabama-Auburn football, the Iron Bowl. 25% of it is just brutal competition, which I would totally agree. It's generally a good football game.
Yes.
25% of it is losing means it's the end of the world, right? If you lose that game, it's the end of the world, whether you're Auburn or Bama.
True.
Another 25% of this rivalry is just plain crime, real malice,
yes,
and possibly
actual
criminal.
Actual people going to jail.
Possibly criminal malice. Of course, you've had people get attacked and all sorts of things. It's been bad. At Auburn, Alabama. That can happen.
They attack coaches there sometimes.
Right.
Brutal.
20% of this rivalry is, of course, when it blows up spectacularly, is what he says, which means when it goes bad, right? It goes really bad. And then finally, 5% of the rivalry is that it's important for regional outcomes, meaning it's important for the SEC West. So a lot of that, obviously the game is important, but I like how he hits on what it means for the fan bases and kind of off the field and what it means in Alabama. He describes Auburn as stereotypically, Auburn is the GI Bill and agrarian school that actually does work, while Alabama is the school for the gentry. That's an interesting example.
Yes.
But he brings up the kick six. And it's crazy. You can always expect a little bit of craziness and unexpectedness from Alabama-Auburn. And even in years when Bama is really good, which is most years, Auburn finds a way to compete and or beat Bama. So it's always fun.
We want, love, support, and appreciate crazy. And no rivalry gives us that better than Alabama and Auburn. I thought it was fascinating that he called Michigan State, Ohio State, like kind of a more important rivalry than Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was kind of weird.
And what I mainly liked was his description of Michigan State, Ohio State. I thought that was good when he said that 40% of it, it's actually important because it is divisional. You know, it's in those divisions and that's always important. And actually, I mean, Michigan State has won a Big Ten title more recently than Michigan, that's for sure. So Michigan State has been the more formidable foe for Ohio State. He talks about how about 40 or another, what did I put on there? I was trying to guess these. 40% is, it's like watching a rhino fight a tiger.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Michigan State is the rhino.
Michigan State would be the rhino.
Yeah.
I think
that's right. 10% of it is actually fun to watch, right? 5% of this rivalry is just Michigan State and Ohio State bonding over hating Michigan.
True.
Which is totally true. And then another 5% are the grim, unsmiling coaches.
I think D'Antonio makes this and Michigan State, Michigan so much fun because he plays the little brother
so well. He does it well.
The disrespected, no one cares about us against the world. He does it so well, and he does it so with such a pouty, like, I can't believe this is happening. Look at his face. Pouty's not the right word. He's just mad at the world. Like the guy who's walking around. Remember the time I went to Walmart and the guy tweeted me and was like, and we talked about it on air.
Yes.
Like I wanted to introduce myself to Quag Talk, but he looked so like me. He had this mean, like angry look on his face. And I was really just focused. D'Antonio's resting face is that mean slash angry slash focused look.
He has a little RBF.
A little bit, yes.
He has some RBF. Bit. D'Antonio does. And so does Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer doesn't smile that much either.
No, he's not a smiler. He's a guy that when you win 60-3, he's trying to figure out why you gave up the 3 points and why you only got 2 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly. The description of OU Texas is his best description. It's perfect.
These are great. I enjoyed reading that one more than all the other ones.
It's incredibly accurate. 50% of OU Texas is just flat out burning spite, which, yes, it is. 45% are mostly random outcomes, which means, of course, you never know. And he cites these examples, which when you think back to recent OU Texas rivalries or OU Texas games, the outcome has been so random. When OU went to their first playoff, a 5-7 Texas beat them.
It's almost like it's almost predictable in its wackiness. Like when you go into the game, the team that you spent all week convincing everyone was going to win is going to lose. And like that's right. What's going to happen. It's going to lose. That team's going to lose some more.
I've told you my dad's OU Texas story, right? From when he was going to the games when he was OU student.
Yes.
If you didn't have a ticket, you'd just go to the county jail that morning of the game.
Yeah.
Buy yourself a ticket.
That's probably
some
not
guys
happening now.
We're not able to attend.
Right. That's probably not happening now. But yes, it does have that. I don't know. The 5% or whatever it is, fried food is the thing that
yes,
really...
Yes, the other 5% is just flat out fried food.
That completes the circle.
Because it's at the state fair and you can get
big
fried
fan.
Anything.
And it is. Essentially, Mac Brown, Charlie Strong, when they get fired, they beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way that you think could save your jobs and everyone thinks and the last two Texas coaches get fired, they got fired anyway.
And the game is still good. I mean, last year, Oklahoma was the better team by far. The game was still close.
It is good. I do wonder, though, because he points out it's 11 a.m. Central Time. Your internal clocks haven't, you know, they don't wake up yet, although an alarming amount of Big 12 games start at 11 a.m.
Well,
local time.
Well, because it's a noon game.
Start at 3:30. Start at 1.
OU Texas has always been 11 a.m. I thought it was normal that football games start at 11 a.m.
Well, they do.
Growing up. I thought that was normal.
But not Oklahoma, Texas.
It does, though.
Like, they need to play afternoon.
You know part
There's
of it, though?
There's a reason we call it the afternoon.
It's October, and it's still flaming hot, and you want to try to play it before it's 3 p.m.
That's another reason why people don't make it to the game.
This is
it's
true.
It's October, flaming hot, and you don't know how you're going to survive.
This is true.
So you just go to jail.
Do you want to hear how he breaks down Ohio State, Michigan?
This is so sad, but it's so true
it's
that
true.
Ohio State, Michigan is the big... This is going to offend so many people, and that's why I say it now with 10 minutes left in the show so people can't call and angrily hate at me. Send your hate mail at Kelly Gramley. This is her idea. Ohio State, Michigan is the biggest fraud rivalry in sports right now.
I agree.
Is it not? I mean, this game hasn't been good. It can be compelling without being good. Even when they were like ranked in the top 5 and it went to overtime and he did or didn't get the first down and all this... This rivalry is so boring in the scheme of football that it barely constitutes as such.
I agree.
That's why I stay in Ohio State, Michigan, and I'm not moving off that perch.
I totally agree. And I think he kind of says that with his description. So 60% of this rivalry, Ohio State, Michigan, on the pie chart, is standing rollover credit from a century of real hatred, which, yes, completely true. A lot, though, mainly, you know, a big part of what drives Ohio State, Michigan is that these two just truly hate each other, even though Michigan hasn't been very relevant recently. Okay. And then 15% of this is strategically important because of the division, of course. 15% has heavy Midwest doom vibes, which I'm not quite sure what that means, but I love it. And then mainly the 10% of this rivalry that is left is you're just hanging around to see how painfully Michigan will lose, right?
Yes.
You're just hanging around to see. The outcome is kind of inevitable. I thought that was a good description. I'm going to skip West Virginia OU because I'm not quite sure why this was on there.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because they fight constantly.
They fight, but really, it's not a rivalry.
They fight so hard.
It's not a rivalry.
I love it. Any game where people are routinely getting ejected, players routinely getting ejected, is a rivalry to me, even if it's just for a couple years. These two teams legitimately live to bludgeon each other to death after the play. It's so much fun. I love that he recapped this because I was kind of thinking to myself, you know what? There is a lot of emotion in this game. And he recapped it for like three straight years.
It's all
how crazy stuff's happened.
It's all West Virginia just being salty.
Kind of.
But don't
they do that well?
Yeah, that's what they do. That's their thing. I do like his description of USF, UCF.
Can I read the final sentence of the Oklahoma West Virginia?
Oh, yeah,
because this is it for me. This makes something a rivalry. If two teams that irrationally dislike each other and play frequently isn't a strong definition of rivalry, then I'm not sure what exactly is.
That's fair.
That sums it up for me.
It is pretty irrational.
Irrational.
That's a word to describe West Virginia OU. Irrational. Makes no sense. USF, UCF. I like this one.
This is not a rivalry.
This one's not.
This is ridiculous.
But my favorite part is that the name of this rivalry has become the War on I-4, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the main highway, I guess, right? I don't know. Between Orlando and Tampa. And originally, the War on I-4 name belonged to the Orlando Predators, the Arena League team that went out of business, and they just took it. They just took the name of that and made it the name of their rivalry. At a consignment sale is basically what he says. So I think that's funny.
This game is so weird because... Doesn't it scream, like these two teams never defend anybody and they always score. And are there any two more like cities, locales that sort of are that way just as themselves than Orlando and Tampa? I mean, when you tell me the college in Orlando and the college in Tampa are playing a football game, you're like, oh, shenanigans, and no one's stopping anyone. They're just going to run around and throw it around and score a bunch of points. No defense.
Yes.
You don't even have to say USF and UCF. You just say, oh, the school's from Orlando and Tampa. They started this thing. It's called the War at I-4. Yep, nobody's stopping anybody in that one. True story. I think that makes it great.
Arguably,
even though this is not a rivalry, this is ridiculous.
Well, isn't this game has been more fun over the past couple years than Florida State, right?
The two best teams in the state of Florida played in that game last year.
In USF,
UCF. I believe
UCF.
That,
yeah,
yes.
For sure. Okay, finally, Mississippi State Ole Miss. I love this one.
This is such a great rivalry because this is one of those that's like, you remember how people used to say like Clemson-South Carolina is a really good rivalry, but not enough people care about it nationally? We used to say that all the time.
Uh-huh.
Not enough people care about it nationally to make it a thing. Mississippi State-Ole Miss, locally, I think, more important and more hate-filled than the Clemson-South Carolina rivalry, just my personal opinion of it. But nationally, even fewer people recognize it.
Question about this Ole Miss-Mississippi State thing. Can I read one of those words?
What?
The red word.
Sadism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sadistic?
Is
yeah,
okay?
You can read
right.
that.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool,
it's
cool,
not
cool.
a bad word.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So.
And if it isn't, I just said it.
Yeah.
I just ruined the whole
if
show.
If anything, I was going to make you read it.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
This is how they describe Mississippi State Ole Miss, which is just perfect. 40% of this rivalry is just pain. Endless pain in all directions.
That's what I'm talking about. People don't understand the plight of Mississippians. Like both sides. They have to go to work on Monday. Like that sucks. That sucks.
And then 20% is malicious fate, 20% class warfare, and 20% sadism. And what he cites is that how if either of these teams is relevant, the other one beats it every time. So they just ruin it for each other. No one wins. No one ever wins the Egg Bowl. Yes, there's a winner, but do they really win? No. That's what he points out. And he points out in 2014 when Mississippi State was number one in the country, right? Or number four. They were looking to be in the playoff.
Right.
And Ole Miss beat them. And CBS aired the Egg Bowl instead of the Iron Bowl that year. And Mississippi State still couldn't get it done. The rivalry beat itself. That's the point with Ole Miss, Mississippi State, which I do agree. I completely agree. It's painful. So I'm with him on that.
Yeah, you never go into that game 5-6 because you're going to exit 5-7. We know that.
Yeah, no one's going to become bowl eligible from that game. It's just not going to happen. if you really need it.
Yeah. And he says the Egg Bowl not only has sadistic qualities, but the Egg Bowl is sadism. Watching all this might sound sort of like sadism, but that would be inaccurate. The Egg Bowl is sadism, is what he says.
He also cites two dormant rivalries, and I love the explanations here, for Texas, Texas A&M, which he says is dormant. And he says, maybe the only real sleeping feud that makes me sad to think about, if only because the two fan bases still talk about each other constantly, like a recently divorced couple who clearly is going to get remarried after a few years of festive mistake making. They're so good together and so awful together at the same time.
Like Michael and Jan on
so
The Office.
True.
That's
true. Yes.
That's what it is.
Like Michael and Jan.
Yeah.
That's A&M in Texas.
Uh-huh.
That's so true.
I like West Virginia Pitt as the battle of moonshine and Iron City beer and how great this rivalry is. I agree. That's about to be fueled like when Clemson and Georgia play every 15 years and the fans just, I mean,
when
like
the fans are just ready for it.
The fans just get rip-roaring smashed before the game because we haven't had this yet in, you know, 15 years. Because they hear stories about what happened the last time Clemson and Georgia played. That's what's going to happen with West Virginia Pitt, the backyard brawl. And they totally hate each other, but they're low-key, they are totally the same.
We have about 4 minutes,
yeah.
And we have to go over some of these bets.
Let's do it.
For the royal wedding.
Yes.
Quack, at 5-1. At 5-1, you can bet that over 26.3 million people will watch this thing.
That's not going to happen.
In the United States.
First of all, it starts at 6 a.m.
That's how many watched Will and Kate's wedding.
All right, first of all, well, the Eastern Seaboard is getting seized by rain, so that people could just be indoors trying to think of something to do.
True.
But no ratings ever go up. What thing has higher ratings in 2018 than it did in 2011?
Also, William was the heir. Harry's the spare. People
Ooh,
care less.
Did you make that up?
No, that is a thing people
spare?
Say. That is a thing Ooh, people
that's
say.
That's terrible.
I did not make that up.
These are horrible people. Can we talk about how horrible these people are? Oh, you're the spare. You're the spare. Go stand over there, William, or whatever. Don't give me that. You're in the royal family, but you're riffraff trash. You're the trashiest 1%er in history.
I'm just going to read these. You tell me if you would take the bet, all right? 6-1, the queen wears a purple hat.
What are some of my other choices?
Well, there's a lot of choices for her hat. Green, 11-10, yellow, 2-1, blue, 3-1, purple, 4-1, pink, 9-2, turquoise, 12-1. Also, leopard print at 250-1.
Come on.
Union Jack print at 250-1, and zebra print at 250-1.
Zach said he's all in for the Union Jack. 250-1.
Union Jack. Yeah. I'm going with purple. It's 6-1.
Uncle Dave said yellow, right?
I think so. I think he's going with yellow.
What are the odds on yellow?
Yellow is at 2-1.
You know what? I agree with his reasoning. I'm not going with Uncle Dave. I'm going with blue. Give me blue.
Blue
seems regal.
3-1.
Purple's not a deal. It's
so, Quack, if you want blue, you might go with the blue as the color package. Chelsea to win the 2018 FA Cup and the queen to wear a blue hat, 7-1.
I don't feel great about Chelsea. I'm gonna pass on that. I don't feel great about Chelsea in the FA Cup.
All right, what about this one? At 1-5, David Beckham, Serena Williams, and Rory McIlroy all attend the wedding.
All three of them?
All three of them.
Hmm. What are my odds there?
1-5.
1-5? That's nothing.
Basically, that means it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, that's almost
it's
a sure thing.
Happen.
No way. I got to pay $5 to get one? No, thank you.
No,
Staying
thank
away
you.
From that one.
What about 25-1? Any member of the Kardashian family attends the wedding?
Any member of the Kardashian family attends. That will be over 0.5 Kardashians. You know, I'm not doing it.
Jenner's count.
I'm not doing it. They probably are jealous that they didn't get picked for other than Markle. Like, they should be Meghan Markle.
What about any member of One Direction attends 10-1?
Oh, that's happening.
Definitely.
Some guy from One Direction going to be there. They may sing at some point.
I like this parlay here. Bride to arrive in Bentley, Prince Harry in military uniform, Queen's hat is orange. 33-1.
That's a parlay?
Yeah, you can bet all three together.
Why would I bet the Queen's hat's orange? I said the Queen's hat's blue.
He's a Tiger fan.
Next.
That's why. All right. Will the bride's arrival time, you can bet on that. I'd imagine she'll be fashionably on time.
What are the choices?
This is of course British time. She arrives right at noon. She arrives between noon and 12:05, 12:05 and 12:10, 12:10 and 12:15, or after 12:15.
It's going
to
be...
This is when she enters the chapel.
It's going to be 12 to 12.05 because she's not coming in right at 12 because of media. And she's not coming in super after because you have to get married at high noon.
So that's your bet?
Yeah. So it's going to be 12 to 12.05. What are my odds on that one? 12 to 12.05.
12 to 12.05. 2 to 1.
2 to 1?
Those are the best odds.
Okay.
Or the worst odds, I guess.
12 to 12.05. Yeah. I'll just go with that one and double my money. Thanks
There's
very
so
much.
Many others. We can't get to all these in terms of like the celebrities that will attend the wedding. There's
yeah,
so
we
many.
Just, There's we so just many. Ran out of time.
What
the
a
good
bummer.
News is this entire wedding will have a 6-hour pregame tomorrow or whatever it is. 3, 2 hours, whatever. I don't know. Enjoy that. If your wife or girlfriend wants to watch it, just watch it and get some stuff done in the yard or something. It's going to be great. Speaking of great, Clemson baseball, Don Munson, Brad Owens coming up next. It's been a great show. God bless. We'll see you Monday. Clemson baseball's up next.